From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name of God, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. A primary qualification for serving God with any amount of success and for doing God's work well and triumphantly is a sense of our own weakness. When God's warrior marches forth to battle, strong in his own might, when he boasts, I know that I shall conquer, my own right arm and my conquering sword shall get unto me the victory, defeat is not far distant. God will not go forth with that man who marches in his own strength. He who reckoneth on victory thus has reckoned wrongly. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. They who go forth to fight, boasting of their prowess, shall return with their gay banners trailed in the dust, and their armor stained with disgrace. Those who serve God must serve Him in His own way and in His strength, or He will never accept their service. That which man does, unaided by divine strength, God can never own. The mere fruits of the earth He casts away. He will only reap that corn, the seed of which was sown from heaven, watered by grace, and ripened by the sun of divine love. God will empty out all that thou hast before He will put His own into thee. He will first clean out thy granaries before He will fill them with the finest of the wheat. The river of God is full of water, but not one drop of it flows from earthly springs. God will have no strength used in His battles, but the strength which He Himself imparts. Are you mourning over your own weakness? Take courage, for there must be a consciousness of weakness before the Lord will give thee victory. Your emptiness is but the preparation for your being filled, and your casting down is but the making ready for your lifting up. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield, and Christ my song.
Come to hide us now.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Dr. Cairns continues the fourth in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ used the expression of himself, I am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It is the name of the eternal, self-existent, never-changing God. In John's Gospel, Christ used this name of himself seven times. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, we find the third instance of Christ's use of I am. Although later in the passage the Savior referred to himself as the Good Shepherd, his first statement in the chapter is, I am the door. As Dr. Cairns has explained, this passage is an allegory in which Christ defines the character of under-shepherds or pastors, as well as the significance of the fold. According to the Savior's explanation, the fold contains many flocks, representative of the true people of God, who are under the care of a number of under-shepherds. In unequivocal terms, the Lord Jesus makes it clear that he alone is the door, the only way by which anyone, under-shepherd or sheep, gets into the fold. And now, to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This is the claim exclusively made by the Lord Jesus. I and I alone am the way of access to God, the entrance into life. Then he speaks of an exclusive confession. This is what Paul meant when in Romans chapter 10 he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. This confession of Christ as Lord, this confession of Christ as Savior, as Mediator, as the sole way to God, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that brings us to the third element here, where Jesus speaks of an exclusive certainty. Shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here's the certainty. Jesus says, I'm the door. I do lead to God. I want you to get what he's saying. It's impossible to come to me and fail to get to God. It's impossible to come to me and fail to get into the true church. It's impossible to come to me and fail to be saved. It's impossible to come to me and yet be lost. That's his great statement. There's a certainty here. Verse 9 puts it beyond all doubt. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, there's faith, there's the personal confession of Christ, he'll be saved. He shall be saved. Not only so, but he'll live in liberty. He'll go in and out. Now, I throw out the scriptures, and I'm not going to give you a list of scriptures. You can do a concordance check and find them very easily. There's a list of scriptures that speak of going out and coming in. And it's a description, it's a Hebraism for the full course of your life. It's your everyday life in all its complexity, in all its variety. Jesus says he'll go in and out. Now, usually, not always, but usually, that's transposed, it's go out and in. I like what John Bergen, the Dean of Chichester, a man whose works on the New Testament text I think are unparalleled for their incisive brilliance, but I'll not get into that one today. But John Bergen, a great Bible scholar, said, go out and in, that's the course of nature. Go in, then out. That's the order of grace. You go into Christ, it's not that you go out of Christ, but when you're in Christ, now you can face life. Now you can live with all the complexities of life, with all the challenges of life, with all the variety of the circumstances of life. Now you can really face life in the liberty of the gospel of one who is saved. You can live in security no matter what's happening in the world. Why? Because you are in communion with God through Jesus Christ. The whole idea is that if you enter in by Christ, you'll be saved and you'll be led and you will be fed. Whatever's happening, this is the statement of him who is the door of the sheep. I wonder this morning, can we stop there just for a minute? I really shouldn't, because the main body of the message is not what I've been preaching. That's only the first part. But the main thrust is something else. And yet, you know, the Lord himself, when coming to verse 9, widened it out, because this is so important. Can you think of what we've been talking about? The Lord Jesus was speaking to people who thought, at the end of chapter 9, this becomes very clear, who thought they knew a whole lot spiritually. They knew the Bible. They could quote the Bible. They knew the history of God's people. They knew a whole lot of things. And yet, they were not among God's sheep. I wonder this morning, are you in that sheepfold? I wonder, are you really among the sheep of his pasture? Are you among his born again, blood washed, believing and redeemed people? As little children, we learned a chorus, and I'm sure you learned it here. One door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? It's very possible to know he is the door and not enter. It's very possible to be able to describe the door and give biblical definitions of various aspects of the work of Christ and not enter. Jesus says, I am the door. And the emphatic application of verse 9 must be, make sure you enter in. He's the door of the sheep. But second, verse 9 goes a little further, I think. He just says, I'm the door. And if you link that up with verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. He is the door not only for the sheep, but he's the door for the shepherds. Now, this is the basic thrust of the whole portion. Remember that originally there were no chapter divisions in the New Testament. And chapter 10, verse 1 follows on without a break from the end of chapter 9. Now, if you go back to chapter 9, verse 34, you'll find they, that's the Pharisees, answer him. They're talking now to the man whom the Lord Jesus had healed. This man had been born blind. The Lord Jesus had healed him. And they wanted him to repudiate Christ. But of course, he wasn't going to do that, even though he hadn't really come to know the Lord in his fullness yet. That comes a couple of verses later. They wanted him to curse Christ. Couldn't do that. And his answer had been, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Just let me stop there for a moment. The Pharisees themselves acknowledged that. Nicodemus said, John chapter 3, coming to Christ, we, that's the Sanhedrin, we know that thou art come from God, a teacher. Why? Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now this man says the very same thing as a member of the Sanhedrin. And what happens? They answered verse 34. They said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Just a little sideline here just to prepare you for real life, my friend. When you get into controversy with somebody. I forget who it was, but it was one of the old preachers. And he pointed this out, that here are people and they are vicious sinners in many ways. And the thing that drives them mad is to expose their religious ignorance. And once you accuse them of ignorance of spiritual things, they blow up. And that's exactly what they did here. And they cast him out. I want you to see this. These are the pastors, supposedly. Here comes a man. He had been blind from birth. The Lord Jesus came and did what no man in the history of the world has ever heard of. That a man blind from birth should receive his sight. He gave him perfect sight. And everybody saw the difference. Everybody knew. Along come the Pharisees. They want to repudiate this person. He's not of God. He must be of the devil. Put yourself in that fellow's position. What would you have said? I think you'd have said exactly what he said. This can't be of the devil. In all the history of the world, has the devil ever given sight to a man born blind? In fact, has the devil ever given sight to anybody? The devil's job is to blind the people who see, not to make the people who are blind to start seeing. For the crying of making, having his sight made whole and refusing to curse Christ, this man gets kicked right out of the synagogue. They cast him out. Those were the false shepherds. Yet verse 41 of chapter 9, verse 40, they say, are we blind also? Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. These are the false shepherds. Now when we come into chapter 10, when Jesus immediately, remember there's no break, when he immediately in the next breath starts talking about thieves and robbers, verse 1, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. It was not difficult for anybody to put his finger on the object of Christ's condemnation. He was continuing to deal with the people he had already been dealing with. So in verse 8, when he says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them," he's still speaking of those Pharisees. Actually, that's a verse that's so easy to say. And when you read it at first, man, that is not easy to understand. That's one of the most difficult verses in John's Gospel to understand, believe it or not. All that ever came before me. What on earth does that mean? Many people say, well, it means that all who preceded me, all who came before me in time. Well, that wouldn't be true, would it? Moses came before Christ. Was he a thief and a robber? Elijah came before Christ. Was he a thief and a robber? John the Baptist came before Christ. Was he a thief and a robber? No, that's not what the Lord is saying. Well, they usually say, well, no, it's more exclusive than all that ever came before me claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be they're thieves and robbers. Well, that would be true, except, strangely enough, there's not an example known in Jewish history before Jesus Christ of anybody claiming to be the Messiah. After him, there came a whole slew of them. You see how the devil works. He was seeking to muddy the waters. When the Lord Jesus came, there came a whole slew of these false Christs. But before him, there is not a record of one person claiming to be the Messiah. So the Lord Jesus certainly could not have been saying that. What is he saying? Well, I'm not going to bore you with all the answers that people come up with. I think there's a very simple thing here. Verse 8 is the opposite of verse 9. Verse 9, they enter by the door. All who come before me. I think the emphasis is, that's as far as they go. They stay on the outside. They never enter through the door. They cannot enter through the door. That's what he's saying. And you'll notice something. All that ever came before me, that's past tense. You would expect him to say, were thieves. But he doesn't. He says, they are. In other words, he's speaking of people who are still there. The Pharisees had come before him. And he points the finger at them and he says, they're thieves and they're robbers. But there's a beautiful picture there that I haven't seen one commentator pick up on, so I hope I'm not imagining it. But I don't think I am. There's so much argument over what the phrase before me means that they miss the obvious. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm the door and I am standing between them and my sheep. I'm between them. And I think that's a beautiful picture that the Lord Jesus gives us. The Lord Jesus here is talking about false shepherds and true shepherds. He's saying that every true shepherd of the sheep must come before me and then come through me. Anybody who does not enter in through me is not a shepherd of the sheep.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.